the other side of his house. And it's very hard for me to even get my truck in the driveway at 302 North. No less, I've been taking a construction trailer in and out for trash because I'm doing construction. And I just can't get it in and out. I have to wait till certain times of the day when the cars aren't there and pulled in maybe 7 o'clock in the morning or something like that, or I can't get in.
With respect to the 302 property, that's a residential home?
That's correct.
And who's going to live there?
My son Rocky's going to live there.
Now, the massage, I suppose the board knows this, but just for our record, the massage parlor and the other businesses you mentioned, they're adjacent to the pickleball court facility that you own?
That's correct.
What is the traffic volume on Calvert Avenue?
Well, I don't know, but I've seen it balloon up at certain times. When there's a football event or something like that, I've seen, you know, a lot of cars go up and down. It's a pretty busy street.
We're moving two parking spaces on Dudley Avenue. Will that have an effect on the overall parking area?
Well, it's just going to make crowded more crowded. Then those cars that aren't, you know, they put meters on Dorset, so nobody wants to park on Dorset. So those three parking spaces where people would take the early ones, they're just going to go farther up that street and take the next three spots that they find.
With respect to how wide
is the street? Well, I think it's 50, but
parking both sides?
Yes.
And when it's parked on both sides, how is the visibility and maneuverability?
Well, it's tight, and it's not only tight, but I know on Sundays when they go to church and certain other days, they just don't necessarily park as good as they could park. And they hang out a little bit, and it makes it, yeah, I mean, we're used to an event in the summer, but it makes it hard to get down the street. And people park all the way up the street on Sundays. They park all the way up to Balfour Avenue and then past that. I don't know where they go past that, but I see them doing a couple laps around the block looking for a parking space.
Do you have off-street parking for your pickleball facility?
I have 9 spaces.
And has there been a problem with non-patrons usurping those spaces?
There has. From the pizza parlor to the dessert place to a few other people, they come and they park and they say, hey, I'm only going to be 5 minutes, blah, 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 and they go in and out. And almost once a day it happens, yeah.
Where is your off-street parking compared to the entrance to the second property?
Well, we border. We're an inch away from each other.
So is your off-street parking closer to the entrance of the second property than the proposed loading zone?
I believe it would be.
Have you had difficulty parking when you're accessing your facility? Do you park on the street or where do you pass them all the
parking? Well, with pickleball, I park in the pickleball lot, and there's been a few times where I've had to double park in my own lot, but I haven't had to really go out on the street too much to get there. It would be a rarity. Basically, we handle our own parking.
I'm not sure the question's
yours. Okay.
Thank you, Brad. Harley? individual and is our expert witness.
Sure, just your name and address, please. Her business address.
Yes, it's Barbara Allen, A-L-L-E-N, Woolley hyphen Dillon, W-O-O-L-L-E-Y hyphen D-I-L-L-O-N. My address is 5856 Route 9 in Tuckerton, New Jersey. Zip is 08087.
Okay, and Ms. Woolley Dillon, please raise your right hand. You swear affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
I do.
Okay.
Yes, I am a professional planner in the state of New Jersey.
And you're licensed as such?
Yes, I am. I have my New Jersey professional planner's license. I've had that since 1998. And then I have my American Institute of Certified Planners licensing, which I have had since 1995.
What is the American Institute of Certified Planners?
It is your international and national planning license. Yes. I have an undergraduate degree in planning from Rutgers University. It's urban studies with an urban planning option. I also have a master's degree from the University of Pennsylvania. It's an MCP or Masters of City Planning.
Can you describe to the board your work experience profession?
Yes. I have worked for several communities. I am self-employed. I have worked for several communities throughout the southern and central New Jersey region. I have been the Director of Planning and Development for the City of Atlantic City. I have also worked for Galloway Township, Hamilton Township, and I see Mr. McLarnon standing up to rise to speak to the attorney. There is no conflict. I no longer work for the City of Atlantic City.
Did I mention the conflict?
No, but I appeared in front of Margate, and I believe that there was a conflict issue raised.
Right.
Yes. So, sorry. Yes. Okay.
Have you testified as an expert witness in planning matters?
Yes.
Probably on the occasion.
I've lost track. It's been over 20 years now that I've been doing this, so quite some time. I've appeared in almost every single municipality here in Atlantic County, as well as Cape May County, and I've appeared at nearly 100 boards in front of throughout Central, all over New Jersey.
You testified in the spirit of
business? Yes, I have.
And with respect to the board's testimony, and the board testimony is qualified as an expert?
Absolutely, yes.
We'll stipulate that she's a licensed person. We don't stipulate whether she's an expert or not, that she's just licensed.
You were engaged, from my office to serve as an expert in after this hearing tonight?
Yes.
And would you describe the board what you did to prepare upon being so engaged?
I looked at the plans and applications, the city zoning ordinances, as well as master plan reexamination reports, and the municipal land use law.
And in connection with the subject property, would you describe where the neighborhood generally where the property is located?
Yes. The site is located at the intersection of, Calvert and Delancey. Excuse me. Sorry, I have a really bad tickle in my throat. I'm sorry, Dudley Avenue. It is in an area where the zoning on half of the street, half the block headed towards Ventnor Avenue, is commercial. The other half is the residential R2. So it's in an area that there is a lot of commercial development consistent with the zoning along Ventnor Avenue, or I'm sorry, excuse me, Dorset Avenue, and then, excuse me, it's all residential around the rest of the site.
Now, with respect to the application that is before the board, you understand that there are a number of variances being requested?
I do.
And I want to address some of the variances, but it has been opined that this site is particularly well-suited for the proposed use, which in this case, the variance has to do with a daycare center's preschool-type facility. Do you have an opinion as to whether or not this is a particularly well-suited site for that purpose?
Yes, I do.
Okay, what is that?
I do not exactly concur with what has been presented before the board this evening. It is my understanding that the church was constructed in 1970, has existed at some level and functioned at some level. We've had testimony from the current occupants of the church that utilize it. They say they show up one day a week, maybe another day during the evening for services. Obviously, COVID-19 did have an impact to public gatherings. We understand that. One of the things that I'm challenged with is we're adding another use that is not permitted by the ordinance into a site that already has an existing non-conforming use. There's no off-street parking. The applicant is now asking to have two current off-street parking spaces vacated for a loading pickup drop-off area for the proposed use. I find nothing particularly suitable about this particular site for a daycare facility. And if you look at what the case law talks about in relationship to site suitability, they also talk about, in looking at the area, it's not that the applicant has to demonstrate that there is another site that's more suited or another site that's available. They haven't talked about that. I know we've heard a lot of testimony from the surrounding neighborhood where we're going to have people walking here. That in and of itself doesn't necessarily make the site itself particularly suited for a preschool daycare situation.
With respect to the ingress and egress for the children, in terms of the loading zone or drop-off zone, whatever you want to call it, on Dudley Avenue, in your opinion, is that a safe and efficient manner in which to get the children safely from their vehicles and into the school facility itself?
And I'll qualify before I answer the question that I'm a parent that my youngest just turned 15, my oldest is graduating from high school, and I am a planner, not an engineer. So it's given from a planner's perspective about site circulation and circulation within the community. It's a tight street. It's going to be awfully difficult. You have parents getting in and out of the car. I know personally my kids were right behind me, right behind the driver's seat when I reached in to get them. You're going to be opening your car door into a street that is not exactly extremely wide. It's one way in this area. Pulling the child out, I think it's going to be a bit of a challenge.
30 or 36.
Now, with respect to the argument that this is an inherently beneficial use, let's grant that the purpose of the question I'm going to ask you now. Is the fact that a use is probably a sufficient basis to grant a use variance?
No.
Does site suitability factor into that decision in terms of factors the board has to weigh?
It does, and the courts have been very specific in that it used to be that the general rule of thumb was with the use variance, it's so inherently beneficial use that the site suitability argument is subsumed with that criteria. However, the courts have taken a position more recently within the last decade that indicates that you should still be looking at site suitability when an inherently beneficial use variance relief is requested or involved.
Now,
what site suitability?
You have an opinion as to the suitability of this particular site?
Yes.
And what is that?
I believe that we had discussed that, that I do not believe that the site is appropriately situated for adding this additional use.
With respect to the picket fence that is being proposed, which is somewhere between 4 to 6 feet, are there requirements in the Ventnor ordinance for yearly fences?
Yes.
And as the front yard, what is the permitted height?
It's a maximum height of 3 feet.
In terms of the impact of this proposed project on the right of way along Calvert Avenue and along Dudley Avenue, would you describe to the board how you see the site functioning?
In looking at this with the fencing, the sign that's moving closer to this, I think it's going to become more challenged. The site, as you look at the plans, it's 70% coverage right now. They're going to move a fence that's now closer to the sidewalk. I've heard discussions proposed between 4 feet, 5 feet, 6 feet tall. Whatever it's going to be at the sidewalk's edge. We have site triangle limitations. I don't believe that I've heard any discussion about them with the potential fence and or sign. I'm not sure if Mr. Barnhart discussed that. So there are some concerns about that.
I think Mr. Barnhart said that there will be clear of the site triangle. So let's assume that the plan that is submitted shows that. In terms of the what is there existing now, are there areas of nonconformity with the bulk there? The bulk standards in the ordinance?
Absolutely.
And what are those areas of nonconformity?
For a conditionally permitted use, which is the church itself, you're required to have a 10,000 square foot lot. I believe we have a 4,000 square foot lot. For any other use, it would be 4,800 square feet. Regardless of that, we have a 4,000 square foot lot area. There is also the minimum required lot width of 60 feet where is required where we have 50. Minimum lot depth, the application actually does meet that. The setbacks for the front yard right now for the building, 15 feet is required where we have just over 5 feet, and then a little over 7.5 feet because there are two front yards on this as it's a corner lot. For the side yard, and it's interesting, their application lists 2.27 feet and 2.85. And looking at the ordinance, one of them is going to be actually, I believe, two side yards instead of rear because it's the side is opposite normally of the rear, or I'm sorry, the rear is normally opposite of the front, but the way your ordinance, it doesn't differentiate. The point where it talks about it is when you have garages with residential development, and it indicates that there are two sides rather than two rears, or one rear and a side. So it's a little interesting how it's represented in the applicant's plans, but it appears as though what they're considering the rear yard, it's less than 3 feet, and then just over 2 feet, or 2.27 feet from the side yard. Again, these are existing non-conforming conditions. For building coverage, 40% is permitted, where we're at 63.4%, and then for lot coverage, it's 65% being permitted, where existing and proposed will be 71.4%. And then we have, again, the issue of the existing non-conforming condition with regard to off-street parking that's required.
Now, with respect to the use of the church or synagogue, these are existing non-conformities. So basically what you see is what you get as far as that's concerned. Do you have an opinion as to, in terms of site suitability, adding this new use of a daycare preschool in terms of all the areas of nonconformity as to the issue of site suitability?
I do. Part of what you're going to look at is they've talked about now they have to have this play area, and I understand it. It's a state requirement. It's now going to be at the front of the site in the corner. I understand there may be a water table, some other things that are coming out there, but this further extends the use, full use of the site, those 5 days a week, out to almost the corner, the back of the sidewalk, where they're going to have the fencing located. So I think that it increases the use of the site all the way to the sidewalk. along both frontages.
And from a planning point of view, is that desirable?
No. You want to have portions of open space, which is why your ordinances, they have a limitation on building coverage and impervious coverage. So it is desired, your ordinance has the requirements, and unfortunately, we don't meet them for the church. Now we're going to add a second use and a second amount of activity and intensity on the site.
With respect to the justifications that have been offered for the requested variances, you've heard Mr. Bornhart's testimony, did you not?
Yes.
Now, again, for purposes of this question, understanding that there's an argument to be made that these are currently beneficial uses, but in terms of site suitability by the variances that are being requested here, particularly use variances,
I don't believe so, and I think that there are, even though it's considered as an inherently beneficial use, there are purposes of zoning that it does counter or contradict. And I know that the applicant listed two that they believed it met, which were small letters A and H. I think that there are challenges with what was presented, and what I believe is that it actually runs counter to five and a total of six of the purposes of zoning, if you will, for what is being proposed.
Which purposes do you think it runs counter to in your professional opinion?
Small letters A is an apple, B is in boy, C is in cat, G is in goat, H is in Harry, and then the preservation of neighborhood character.
What did you just say?
I'm sorry?
If you were asked a question about what the counters were to the thing, what are they?
Okay.
You gave me letters.
The board solicitor has memorized all of these paragraphs.
Absolutely.
You explain to me what those specifically are?
I got A and B, that's about it.
Absolutely, and that was where I was going. I usually list them first because it makes it easier to follow along when I discuss them. So A is encouraging municipal action to guide the appropriate use or development of all lands in the state in a manner which promotes the health, safety, morals, and general welfare. Again, I'm struggling with this application because of the number of setbacks. It's now being increased or exacerbated, and the setbacks are being decreased with the fences, with the relocation of the sign, with the use of that front, both front lots for a play area. And then you also have the character of the surrounding area where this building fronts. At Dudley and Calvert, it's all residential around on the other side of this. Then B would to be secure safety from fire, flood, panic, and other natural and man-made disasters. We've talked about Calvert. It's a very busy street. There's an indication that it's used, and I don't use this lightly, but some people could say it's a throughway or what they take as their common approach to going to the athletic fields. So it's a very heavily used street. You're going to have small children playing in this area, which is why they have to have those fences. Then C is to provide adequate light, air, and open space. Again, we've talked about the site already being constrained. They're already over in the coverage. They're now going to be, again, into those setbacks, the front yard setbacks. They now need signage variances for relocating the sign, as well as the sign that's on the fascia on the front of the building, and the fences and fence heights. Excuse me. Then small letter G is to provide sufficient space and appropriate locations for a variety of uses, and that would be residential, commercial, industrial, et cetera. And in this case, it's a residential area. It has always been zoned as the R2. I have some of the historic documents. I've done some work a few years back here in Ventnor and had to look at the original master plans and master plan reexamination reports. This area has always been R2. Even the most recent master plan reexamination report that was done in 2016 did not recommend changing this area or listing what is being proposed as a permitted use. Then small letter H is to encourage the location and design of transportation routes which will promote the free flow of traffic while discouraging the location of such facilities and routes which result in congestion or blight. We've already talked about this. There is no off-street parking. They're now going to take away two additional on-street parking spaces. Seashore communities, I worked in Manaloking, Lavalette, Seaside Park, Atlantic City. On-street parking is a very valuable commodity. Most communities advocate for it. They love to see off-street parking. However, we realize when you have the built or developed environment, it's very difficult to get that. So they're going to be removing two off-street parking spaces to have this delivery area, if you will, or loading area, pickup area for the children. And again, I think it's problematic with the circulation of the streets, with Delancey being a one-way, and then Calvert is very narrow in that area. And then finally, preservation of neighborhood character. I've talked about this, where the area around this, where the building faces, fronts, it is all residential. And I think that this is going to be one of those stepping stones where it now actually starts to bleed, or, if you will, blur that distinction with your zone boundary line. And it's very clear that you're not permitted to grant variances where this is what's happening, where a zoning district is, the boundary is blurred or bleeding into another area. That's kind of what I'm seeing happening here.
What will be the impact of adding the school use from the residential home to immediately adjacent to a 302 Douglas?
You know, I don't like to object, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah.
But I don't know that Ms. Willie Dillon's been offered as a housing real estate expert for tonight's hearing for her to testify. I realize rules of evidence don't really apply when you deal with
right.
a district hearing like this. But for her to testify on what the value of homes is really irrelevant and really not within her scope
That's,
of
yeah.
any expertise. So
I'm not
highly objecting to
the question.
And I have to object to some of the others. I'm not even sure why she's reviewing a zoning schedule where we haven't even proffered those purposes of zoning as a reason to substantiate our C variance, let alone our D variance. So I'll deal with that.
Yeah, okay, you'll deal with that. Yeah.
Can, in terms of the negative criteria, the variances being requested here and granted without detriment to the zone plan or the public good?
I do not believe so.
What's the basis of that?
The basis of my opinion is the applicant has to demonstrate two things to the board. What is the negative criteria? And then what have they done to mitigate it? So what is the negative? We have a lot of existing non-conforming uses, or excuse me, setbacks, conditions, and an existing non-conforming use. Now we're going to add more to that, another use that is not permitted by the ordinance, additional vehicle trips to the site, additional level of use in the site that was not originally anticipated. What have they done to mitigate it? Proposed a delivery drop-off area that will remove two off-street parking spots. And again, this is one of it's a bit of a busy intersection right in that area. So again, I think that the negative, we've identified it, and what have they done to mitigate it? I don't think that it's going to overcome the challenges that you're going to have with the site, with this now second new, brand new use being proposed for the site. The only other thing that I'd like to offer is, if you had a permitted use at the site, the level, and obviously by adding a second use to this, the level of vehicle traffic that's going to be generated at the site is far greater than what would be expected by a normal permitted use, or even the one existing non-conforming use, which is the church.
I have a couple questions. When was the first zoning ordinance produced in the city of Ventnor?
Gosh, I had it in my notes. I believe it was in the 1980s.
1928, ma'am.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was the more recent one.
Yes.
And I say that because I wasn't around in 1928.
Okay.
I can thankfully say that. So
how many non-conforming uses are in the city of Ventnor?
Sorry?
How many non-conforming uses are in the city of Ventnor?
There are a few. And what do you mean by non-conformities? Do you mean setbacks? Do you mean uses?
Non-conforming use, according to zoning.
I'm sorry. In that particular area,
in the city as a whole? In the city of Ventnor.
There are a few.
We know that. Do you have anything more than a few?
Okay. I'm sorry. I'm having a hard time hearing.
Okay. Thank you very much. And how many commercial properties exist in the city of Ventnor with zero parking?
There are a few. There are quite a few. And as I said, I lived here.
I know. There's quite a few.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Excuse, Barbara, you made mention to off-street parking. I think you meant on-street parking.
On-street parking. Thank you.
And what's the requirement for on-street parking?
I'm sorry?
What is the requirement for on-street parking?
For the churches or the daycare?
On-street parking? What's the requirement citywide for on-street parking?
In terms of commercial uses?
Any use.
If it's a residential use, then you can get credit for some of the on-street parkings. There is no requirement for on-street parking.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Mr. Chairman, may I just ask a couple of questions?
You're welcome to do...
I just have a few questions. I know it's getting late. Talked a lot about traffic in the area.
Yes.
Did you do a traffic study?
No.
Are you empowered to do a traffic study as a planner? Or is traffic engineer the answer to this?
We can do traffic studies to look at the volume of traffic. Typically, they are relegated to engineers, but planners can do traffic studies and look at the area for parking requirements.
Did you do that for this person this year?
No, unfortunately, I did not.
But you spoke a lot about the traffic in the area. How did you learn about the traffic in the area?
I actually lived in this area for a while, and it's probably been 20 years, and I've been in and around the area, and I have represented clients in Ventnor before.
20 years is a long time, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And before this one?
50 years.
So, you went through the zoning study plan that the municipal planners were correct?
Yes.
And you pulled out, as you went through it, every setback, front setback, coverage, you read every one, right?
Yes.
Now, aren't the ones, you didn't even say which ones were considered variances and existing non-conformities, right?
I did.
Were you trying to tell the board that these are new variances? But Mr. McClanahan's report is not accurate?
No, I stated that they are existing non-conforming conditions with the building and the use itself.
Right, and other than the fencing area and moving the sign, to the best of your knowledge, are we planning any changes to the building?
No.
Based upon what you heard tonight?
Actually, I take that back. You also said that there was a fascia sign?
That's correct. You are correct.
I'm sorry.
Didn't
mean to contradict you.
No, you're right. That's going to identify a benefactor to the site. That's making this all happen.
Yes.
But other than that sign above the door, the sign moving, and the vinyl fence, although we are having followers, but other than those few changes, there's no change in the site.
That's correct.
You think you could qualify for a waiver of site plan based upon those minor changes?
That has been what's requested.
That's been what's requested, that's correct.
Yes.
Okay, and as the planner of Atlantic City, you saw that a lot, right, when there wasn't any...
Former planner, yes. I have seen that, and it depends on the type of use as to if it was granted or not.
But yeah, I would think you have to admit these are de minimis changes, correct? To the site.
I'm hesitating to answer the question because the use is involved with them, and the use itself I wouldn't say is de minimis.
When you heard Mr. Lavera's testimony tonight, he said the entranceway is closer to his parking lot than to Dudley. Do you agree with that?
It depends on where you're parking in the parking lot.
I'm talking about the loading zone. The loading zone, and let's use his closest spot, right by the corner of our building. Which is closer?
It's actually maybe a foot or two if you have to go around this way to the parking lot. Depending on how you space out the spaces in that loading zone, because I don't have a representation of it.
Did you review the plans?
I did.
And it's shown on the
plans. Oh, I'm sorry.
It's shown.
Okay.
That is the plan.
It's actually, the door is just a scooch, if you will, a little bit closer towards the Dudley Avenue rather than to the parking lot.
That's right. I'll have Mr. Warren testify. That's fine. I just want to make sure. Isn't it true that when you testify for a C variance, you have to, in other words, let's say a flexible C, that we call a C2. You're familiar with that, right?
Yes.
And so when you go for a C2 variance, you have to promote a goal of zoning, right?
Yes.
And isn't it true that you only need to really promote one, even though there might be 13 listed or 15? applicant sued us. Would you agree with that?
As long as you satisfy the negative criteria.
Right, well said. So as long as we have one purpose of zoning, we satisfy the positive, right? General health is welfare, good civic design, right air and open space. Any of those would satisfy, right?
Yes.
So you don't really need to satisfy six, seven, or you don't need to talk about things that we didn't satisfy, correct? As long as we satisfy one, we're in. As long as we satisfy the negative.
That's correct. That's correct.
Because I think you were, I'm not sure what you were testifying about, but that's where I got confused. I'm sorry. You're wrong with your testimony.
No problem. Yes. Yes.
So you know that, least restrictive means, that federal statute applies to a religious institution like the Bible, I'm sure.
Yes, and I don't think we're debating the religious portion of the application.
That's correct, you know. But isn't this sort of accessory used to most religious institutions?
It can be, and it depends.
Just not go to rule.
That's correct. Potentially.
Okay. I have no further questions. Thank you.
I have one last question. I have one last question. How many churches in the city of Ventnor are in residential neighborhoods?
Most of them are.
All of them are. Thank you.
Yes, it's conditionally permitted.
Leisman asked you about changes to the site. Putting that outdoor play area, is that a change to the site?
Yes.
Is that a minimum change?
Given that they've testified that it will be somewhere at least 720, 750 square feet, I don't think that that would be, given that the site is 4,000 square feet in size.
Now that we're on the topic of the minimum,
I don't believe so, no.
Thank you. Any further questions?
I have a question. With Wawa being out of the picture and pickleball in, do you feel as if the traffic is less, equal, or greater?
At that particular intersection or in the area along Dorset Avenue? I'm sorry, I don't mean to answer a question with a question.
Okay. So
I just need some context. My apologies.
Wawa is there. Okay. Not pickleball. Do you feel as if there's more cars at Wawa or less cars at pickleball?
Like you mean traffic, right? Traffic?
Traffic.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm having a hard time hearing today.
No, I didn't say it right.
That's okay. I understand typically with a Wawa in a suburban community, you get the biggest number of vehicle trips coming in. I also understand it's Dorset Avenue. It's one of the main intersections, the main ways to come into Ventnor. You will have a lot of passerby traffic coming in and going out. There was a lot of traffic associated with the Wawa. With the pickleball use, it does have 9 parking spaces, as the owner testified. There typically are spaces there, so there is an assumption that there is less traffic, less use of that particular site for the pickleball facility.
I just, because the volume of cars in that is way, way less than what it used to be.
Absolutely.
Very, very tough going in, going out, two ways in on both sides, and now, with Mr. Lacovara's thing, it's a lot less. So it brings traffic down. I just wanted to say.
Thank you.
I'd also like to just comment, too, on the actual Calvert Avenue. I lived in Ventnor Heights for quite a number of years in that general vicinity, and I would never consider Calvert Avenue as a highly trafficked street. Ventnor Heights, for the most part, is very quiet. You know, Dorset Avenue being the exception, but now without Wawa, that's actually been reduced too. But the side streets, I don't see them as having any kind of traffic impact.
Thank you.
Board members complete. Any questions? Okay. Mr. Flower, are you complete?
We're complete, and I will spare you a closing statement.
Thank you, sir. Yes?
Rabbi, you stated that you are here to purchase this church.
Yeah.
And contingent upon what's going to happen here tonight?
Not necessarily. We may purchase it anyway for the use it needs, but we're hoping that the childcare can be a part of the vision.
Okay. I didn't know if there was someone else, you know, you contingent if you didn't get what you wanted, or somebody else was in the background, or...
Right. Not that I know of.
Okay. Well, I don't know if you can answer this, Roger or Jay, maybe you can, but I know you're requesting a loading zone, which is not something we can authorize. You have to go to the city for that. But I'm wondering, when you request a loading zone, you can be specific about the times that you want it for loading. Since it does take a couple parking spaces off the street, it would be mostly, I guess, for during the week for child drop-off.
Yes.
So, you know, that might help the neighborhood if they felt that there is a shortage of parking places.
Yes. I've often seen it says no parking from this time to this time.
Right, and that's kind of what I meant, yeah. You know, that it would eliminate the weekends, then they're free to park there.
Right.
I think most of the loading zones are time-restricted.
I
right.
think
you would
they are.
Better.
Yeah. Yeah. Santucci's.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't usually read them.
Yeah, you're the one always parking.
Yeah, yeah. I just park.
At this time, we're going to take a 5-minute break. We've been at this a long time. I think everybody can use a little break. And then we'll go back. Fleischman, you're up. We're going to take a 5-minute break.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah? Yeah, 5-minute recess. We'll call it back. I'd like to call the meeting back to order. We'll wait for a few people to get here. Rabbi, you were up. Mr. Fleischman, you were up last time I remember.
Rabbi, just would like to add.
Right. Well, just a minute till we get everyone in here. We'll get the door closed. And then who are we missing here?
Nobody.
That was Tim's seat. Okay. All right. We're good. Okay.
I just want to respond about
we're
the...
We're back on the record. We are back on the record.
I understand that the approval of the loading zone is not necessarily done here. That's what was brought up. I did have a meeting with Chief of Police and showed the idea, and he thought that this was the best scenario for what we want to do and thought it would be fine.
Thank you.
You did like the idea of the avenue, correct?
Yeah.
Thank you,
Rabbi. Okay. Mr. Fleischman, you're up as far as your application is to complete or finish. How do you, it's yours.
Well,
the floor is yours.
We're ready. I mean, I can summarize at this point.
Do what you got to do.
Well, first of all, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and members of the board for your patience and for your tolerance listening to the testimony tonight. I think that when you listen to what was said here tonight by the rabbi, by the members of the community, about Ms. Sherry, the school, I think as a religious institution, substituting for another religious institution, I think we satisfy all the criteria in order to qualify for a D variance to allow the Chabad to take over what is the Asian church and also add the preschool aspect child care. It's very clear. It's crystal clear. Under New Jersey law, both statutory and case law, that a religious use, including schools, are inherently beneficial uses. There was some testimony about you have to find other particular well-suited sites. This is a well-suited site. The testimony supports the fact that this is a well-suited site. But that's not really the overriding issue. The overriding issue is a D variance requires a showing of positive criteria, special reasons, inherently beneficial use, satisfies the special reasons required for the granting of that part, the positive criteria of a D variance. The second part, the negative criteria, you have to show no substantial impact, no substantial detriment to the public good, no impairment to the zoning ordinance and zoning plan, no substantial detriment to the public good, no impairment to the zoning ordinance and zoning plan. We've put in a, what we hope that will be put by City Commission, a loading zone for the staggered drop-off. And without repeating all of the operational things, I think that it shows that we've thought this out, the building is well suited. And I think that this application actually will be a reduction in the traffic impact in the area overall. Because, again, it is staggered at off times during the day. You only have services, religious services, on Saturday, sometimes a holiday during the week. And the members of this faith, or this congregation, walk. As Orthodox members, they don't drive, so they walk to the service. The number of students, there's been some testimony about that tonight, the number of students at the end of the day is driven by the Department of Health. What they tell us we can have, and it would appear based upon the size of the outdoor area, that we can't have any more than 23 students, and that would be our problem as a condition of this approval. And I talk about serving the public good, and I'm getting close to the end, guys. I'm sorry, just bear with me a little bit. It's hard to think of something better for our community, the public good, than a religious institution. That is community. We had Mr. Zirkin, who's still here. He spoke eloquently about family, friendship. We had 10, 15 people come up and speak about the camaraderie, how this is going to be a wonderful benefit to the community. And certainly, you know, there's always going to be tension between commercial and residential when I have them back to back. And this is a church facility that's been here for almost 50 years. So I think that this is a wonderful reuse, repurposing of this building. And the only thing I want to end with, we haven't talked about this tonight, and I just want to mention it. You know, the federal government has recognized the fact, the sacrosanct situation when it comes to religious institutions. And they passed a statute called the Religious Land Use and Institutionalized Persons Act, which was passed in the year 2000. And under, what's the acronym for that is ILOPA. And under ILOPA, whenever a religious decision substantially bans the exercise of religion, the government, ILOPA says to the government, you must demonstrate that the regulation is the least restrictive means of furthering a compelling governmental interest. And in other words, this is the strictest possible judicial standard. So, even in one case, preventing or making it unreasonably difficult to build a worship site, restricting the size of a congregation, or otherwise limiting religious observance, have all been held to be substantial burdens. So, ILOPA doesn't need to come into play into this community. I want to mention it because it really does show that we ought to welcome religious institutions into our community. And we want them in residential communities. We want to be able to walk to this church. I lived on a block and road from my little sorrows. It's a beautiful thing. I see people walking to the church all the time. So we want these religious houses of worship to be in our residential areas. That's what creates community. Nothing more promotes the public good than creating that type of community. So the best way, only thing, licenses for religious institutions when they make sense. And I think this application in totality makes sense. And I thank you again for listening to us. We are seeking a waiver of site plan. We feel the changes are de minimis, notwithstanding the addition of a outdoor safe play area. The C variances, we can go over when, Mr. Chairman, when you're ready. There are a few C variances. We've shown that we promote goals of zoning, but I wasn't able to show one. And I made that clear even on cross-examination of Ms. Willie Dillon, that the, our opponent's planner, that all we need to show, we only need to show one purpose of zoning. We only need to show what we didn't show seven others. So I just want that to be very clear. I know the assessor can charge you on that. Hopefully he would agree. But thank you for your time tonight.
Do that yet? Have you done that?
I have a list of the C variances. Would you like my list, Mr. Chairman?
I would like to have the C variances listed so everyone knows what they are.
Okay.
And if you have any other comments on them, please give them.
Okay, we have a waiver of site plan request. We have a D variance to allow the preschool use of this, of the religious building.
You're going to do C variances first.
C variances, I have the following, Mr. Chairman. For a building mounted sign, that would be 12 by 1. It would be, and just to note, that would be accent lighting on, no backlit. We have a fence that we're requesting, well, we're seeking 5, but I think the general consensus is a 6-foot fence, and we would request if that's a variance, we would list that as a, so Mr. McLean, I'm not sure if that's a C variance.
Yes, 6-foot fences are permitted in the R2 zone in a front yard with certain conditions. You're not meeting those conditions, so it is a variance.
So it's a variance. And it's on the right of way also. So that's an additional variance.
The condition of approval was getting the encroachment license to construct the fence in the public right of way.
Yeah, I think the fence would be a 6-foot fence to be permitted in the front yard because you don't meet all the conditions for that.
Right.
We can grant you up to the property line, but then it was subject to an encroachment license to go into the
correct
right of way if it's granted, obviously.
That's acceptable.
I just want to interject something here. Did we decide on a 6-foot fence?
Because we could, no,
that
we could
hasn't
have some discussion.
Been discussed.
No, we could have some discussion on that. But, I mean, that seems to be the applicant doesn't seem to care so much.
Right.
It's what
that's true, Mr. Manis. 5 or 6 is fine.
Let's have the discussion right now.
Well, I would be more comfortable with 5. That's
I would. I think 6 foot is.
I think 6 foot's a bit high.
You like 6?
No.
No.
No. Whatever the board would deem appropriate.
My opinion is 5 is better.
5?
I like 5.
I don't know how the other board members feel.
I think 5 works.
Yeah.
I'm sticking to 6. Mm-hmm.
Consensus is 5.
Consensus is 5.
Is a 5-foot fence, Roger, off the top of your head?
I'm a little concerned that 6-foot
high. Is that still need conditions?
It's going to make it look a little.
Yeah. It's too high.
No,
too high.
It's like more like a prison.
So it's allowed.
All right.
Doesn't matter. It's
continue.
Max variance would be for the removing the freestanding sign. It would be placed 3 feet from Calvert Avenue. 4 feet from Dover, which is not a variance, but 3 feet from Calvert would be a C variance.
So on the compliance plans, it will be moved.
Right.
Correct.
Right.
You're moving it 1 foot in, so it's 1 variance.
Yeah, that's what we're going to move it over 1 foot towards Dudley, so that'll go to 4, but 3 feet from Calvert is what.
And they need a variance for lighting too, or not?
No,
no variance for lighting. Okay.
And I think there is a parking variance because of the preschool addition to the uses at the site.
Yes.
And those are the C variances.
Based on the classrooms, it would be 4 spaces required, and you have 0.
Right.
Okay. The other thing is the 12 by 12 lettering, 12 feet by 12 foot lettering across the top of the building.
Right.
That is also, is that a variance?
That's a second side, yes.
Yes.
Number 1 is permitted.
Right. Okay, so you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Is that 5, Steve?
Yes.
Okay.
I agree.
And,
I see 1D.
2D.
And then you have a use variance.
And we have the D use variance.
Would you elicit that, please?
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman.
Could you explain that or elicit that to the board, please?
Yes, the D variance is because in R2 zone, preschool would not be a permitted use. The religious use is permitted, but the preschool is not. So we're asking for a D1 variance to allow that use.
Okay. D1, okay. Is that, it's a total of everything which you're requesting?
Yes, sir.
How about landscaping? Do we need anything on landscaping?
They're showing landscaping, I think they agreed to put the street trees in.
We agreed, we will add four street trees, I think that's on Mr. McLaren's report.
Okay.
Site maintenance is one of the items in the report that will be certainly taken care of by Habad.
And the governor's strip is maintained, correct?
Yes.
The governor's strip is maintained, so four street trees. And there are no curb cuts.
I'm going to step away from this mic, Mr. Chairman, so I can see.
Okay, no, there are no curb cuts?
No curb cuts.
Okay. Anything else? Leo, have we missed anything?
No.
Okay.
Oh, the bollards. We did agree to put the bollards in, even though that wasn't a request, we only put those in on the side of the building.
The side of the building, which is the side of the pickleball?
That is correct, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
And that was recommended by the state, correct?
Yes.
Bollards.
I believe they're, John, they're 40?
Pickleball.
Four feet, 48 inches?
Court side.
4 feet above the existing adjacent grade.
Yeah, 48 inches above grade.
Adjacent grade.
Adjacent grade, yeah.
How many bollards are in the court?
Like six, so it would be, it's going to end up being eight.
Eight?
Eight bollards. Okay. Okay, have you checked everything? Checked? Okay. You've checked everything? That's everything you're applying for?
I think we're done.
Okay. Now, for purposes of a vote, do you want to bifurcate the vote or one shot?
I would defer to the solicitor on that. It's all part and parcel, but I would go with the use first because it's five out of seven and the rest is four.
Yeah, we could, I mean, they're all sort of related, but we'll...
I mean, however I want.
We'll do the use first.
That would be fine, yeah.
Before I frame that, then if anything's approved, let's go over the conditions, I'll put them on the record now, and then they're going to do, put anything in Mr. McLaren's report unless we modified it tonight, but I did note the four street trees. The fence in the front yard, I believe a 5-foot fence may be permitted in the front yard as you're proposing it. To the extent it's not, that's a variance, but it's going to be subject to an encroachment license past the front yard setback, and I believe the testimony was that it's going to be a 5-foot open picket metal fence? Okay.
Correct.
Is that right, John?
Typical condition, you'd be subject to any necessary outside approvals, I know there's a Department of Health. Now, the limit on the 23 children, does the board want to impose that as a condition, or do we want to just say that that's up to the Department of Health, the occupancy limits? I think it's, are you okay with 23?
We are, in terms of that's what the DOH would probably set as a limit. We'll have to come back.
My suggestion is to put it at approximately 22, and then subject to approval from the state of New Jersey, who, what is the governing agency that governs this?
Department of Health.
Subject to Department of Health approval.
Oh, it's the Department of Health, this term of occupancy.
Not to exceed 23, subject to...
Not to exceed 23.
Yeah.
But it's subject to Department of Health approval.
That would be fine.
Yeah, the Department of Health says you can only have 20, you can only have 20.
No, only have 20.
But you're okay with a board condition?
I think Habad already, in his testimony, agreed to that limitation.
Not to exceed, and then the subject to.
Yes.
That would be the best way to do it.
That's acceptable to the applicant.
Okay, so if they come back and say you can have 25, you're okay with 23?
Just come back here and ask for more.
Okay, and then...
We're tough, you know.
Then the loading area is also subject to city approval. I'm not sure if that would be considered an encroachment license or something else, but it's going to have to go...
Well, the city controls the street, so we're going to have some sort of designation, I'm sure. It may even require an ordinance.
They'll maintain the governor's strip, talked about the fence, they'll put the bollards on the property facing the pickleball property. It looks like about eight of them, 48 inches from adjacent grade. They'll submit compliance plans consistent with the approval granted. I just wanted to get all those conditions on the record, and then all representations made during the course of the hearing will be complied with, but I wanted to get the conditions on there first because we're bifurcating the vote. Normally, I would frame the vote and then frame the motion on the variances and then list the conditions. But I think the first vote we should make, it's a use variance. You heard the testimony. This requires 5 out of 7 affirmative votes. It's to allow the preschool along with the religious institution on this property. There's been some testimony that's an inherently beneficial use. That does not seem to be debated too much, I would agree, which means the focus is more on site suitability and if negative criteria from the board. But we'll need a motion and a second to grant the use variance to allow the preschool use along with the religious use proposed on the site.
So may I have a motion and a second?
I'll make the motion.
And a second? We'll have a roll call vote, and please state your reasons.
Jay Cook?
This is for voting for the use variance. I am going to vote yes. First of all, the church itself does exhibit a factor of being one of safety, being one of health, and being one of morals, in that it helps us all of the community. It guides us. It's a function. It's a liberation. It's been that way. It's been a service to our community for years. In there, a school associated with the church does many of the same things associated for many families. It's often said that in a community, it takes a village to raise the children. It takes a lot of people, not just one. And these schools happen to do that and do it well. The next area is that the site being on the corner, not being an interior lot, does give ample light and air because there are also 30-foot cartways, which are the 50-foot right-of-way, which was not elicited, but I know that, I mean, I've seen the maps, I know what they are. So there is, on both sides, accesses, the streets in there. Secondly, the streets are not any smaller than other streets in other parts of the city. They are the same size and carry the same traffic volume with that. Now, that encourages the free flow of traffic. What also has happened is, since Wawa left, the area has had a significant reduction in traffic and pedestrian moving to the point where it was light years ahead of this of a daycare center, to the point where I had to park in some cases 2 and 3 blocks away and walk there just to get a cup of coffee. And so I know how bad it was. I have it at that store. And finally, in there, that the amount of parking that is used by this particular facility within that area compared to what is used in other parts of the city is extremely low. I'm very familiar with the neighborhood, park there. I also know that just about every commercial enterprise in this city cannot generate enough parking, or there is no parking for them at all, and they still are being approved, because we won't have a city without these things. If we worked solely on parking and everything else, we wouldn't have a community, and we wouldn't have places to buy things or do things or commune. But the city is now, in the last several years, has increased the number of parking places within the communities in the residential zones and will continue to do so. So parking is improving rather than diminishing. A thing that's not been discussed here tonight. The master plan in there involves obviously making a community that is involvement with not only financial and professional remuneration itself, but allowing us to have businesses that survive, but also allow businesses that create jobs for people and so on and going through. So the financial worthiness that this provides, not only for people that live in the city, but people who work at jobs and bring their incomes back and spend their money in the city, becomes important. So a teacher working can bring those funds back into the city and spend them within the city itself, thereby increasing the overall value and increasing our readiness as a city itself. Now, going through the site suitability, obviously, I believe it's suitable. It's demonstrated it with there. In there, there's no changes being done. It's being fitted in. It's a 40 or 50-year-old structure that's existed there as a pre-existing non-conforming use, and nobody had anything to complain about it. And it's worked very well. What we're adding to it is a very, very de minimis use. 20 kids ain't big in no uncertain terms. If it was 20 classrooms, I'd have a problem, but not 20 students. We're there. Now, the specifics and going through in here. The 5-foot fence, oh, we're not going into the fencing yet, so we're going through. So basically, with that in mind, I think I've covered most of the issues that are going through on the use variance, but we don't need to split hairs on parking. We have to act responsibly for our community. And within that, create a use that not only aids and abets the zoning ordinance, but more so aids and abets the citizens' needs of the community, which our zoning ordinance is meant to do and serve. It is for the benefit of the people, not asphalt, not stones, and not sand. We are a living, breathing community. And I believe that firmly. And it's been good to every one of us. So I wish to maintain that. So I am in favor of it, and I rest my case. Next witness.
Lorraine Slaughter.
One of the things that I've always thought made Ventnor special was the fact that we did have churches in the middle of our residential neighborhoods. I think it adds to the quality of life and it enriches the neighborhoods. And, you know, many of those churches, they have meetings, they have parties, they teach children, they teach adults. And again, it enriches the neighborhood. So I just see this as an extension of that. And more or less, it has always been a church. So that was like, to me, not even an issue. Adding a daycare program to it, my first concern was how will that impact the neighborhood? And I think we had a good representation of the people who actually live in the neighborhood. You know, when we see so many people in the audience, our natural inclination is to think we have a lot of opposition, and it was quite the contrary tonight. Everybody just loved the idea, and to me that was very meaningful. So I think it really is inherently well-suited. I see no detriment to the public, to the zoning plan. So I fully support it.
Mike Wilson.
This whole situation reminds me of Anita Metzger that was at Victoria and Ventnor Avenue in a church, in the basement. And the church was in a residential neighborhood. It was commercial across the street, but when that side was residential. And it just reminded me so much of it because my daughter went there. And it gave her a great start in life to be able to communicate with people. And the way the people came out tonight and showed the love for Ms. Sherry, I don't even know how to pronounce your last name, but Ms. Sherry, I'm getting...